The Grizzlies suffered their first home loss of the season against the reigning Eastern Conference champion Boston Celtics. But you know what? After the game, they weren't really sad. The team looked really encouraged. And I'm going to tell you why. Coming up right here, right now, on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host today, DeMichael Cole, beat writer for the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, Tennessee. I want to thank you again for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies on today, on this lovely, fantastic, you know, Tuesday, on a Grizzlies off day. That is 109-106 loss to the Boston Celtics yesterday. Overall, a pretty close and competitive game throughout. The Boston Celtics had long runs. The Grizzlies had a couple long runs, but in the end, Boston pulled it out in the end, and Ja Morant had a chance to tie the game. 109-106, 2 seconds left in the game. Morant slipped on the floor going up the court, and that was all she wrote in that game. But today's episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Sweat Block. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odors, you know, you should try Sweat Block. Because Sweat Block, you can save 20%. Using the promo code Locked On at sweatblock.com. So again, sweatblock.com, you can save 20% with the promo code Locked On. Sweat Block is also available on Amazon. But thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies, and make sure you continue to listen or watch us everywhere. Remember, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen or like to watch your podcast, Locked On Grizzlies is there to keep you up with the latest. And the latest from this team is, you know, I was wondering what the mood would be like. 109-106 loss, you right there. But, you know, it's the first home loss of the season. Grizzlies are now 7-4. We mentioned that the 7-3 start, one of the best starts in franchise history through 10 games. So, you know, the Celtics felt like it was the premier test, you know, at this point of the season. You know, I don't think at the time many people knew that Utah would be as good as it is now, or the fact that, you know, the Grizzlies missed Ja or Desmond Bane in both of those games against the Jazz. So in this game against Boston, it was like, okay, this is sort of more of a litmus test type game as to where the Grizzlies are now. And then shortly before the game, it was announced that Steven Adams was out. I know my co-host Joe Mullinax talked about it on yesterday's episode. I also wrote about it at commercialappeal.com on why Steven Adams is so important to this team, right? And I think that game against the Wizards, we saw it. I mean, he clearly was a big, big difference maker in that game. And then Steven Adams, without playing, was a difference maker in this game. You know why? Well, Boston came into this game as one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. The Grizzlies entered that game as one of the best rebounding teams in the NBA. You go look at the numbers from the game. Boston finished with 45 rebounds. The Grizzlies, 45 rebounds. The Grizzlies had 8 offensive rebounds. Boston, 7 offensive rebounds. So the Grizzlies did not control the glass as they would have if Steven Adams would have played, more than likely. It would have been more of an advantage in the Grizzlies' direction there. And that is, you know, a big way of how the Grizzlies do a lot of their damage. Let me take you to the second quarter. There was a point in the second quarter where the Grizzlies were up 9 and Boston went on a 20-0 run, flipped the game completely around, led by 11. And you go back and you look at that stretch, the Grizzlies weren't getting a lot of offensive rebounds or creating second chance opportunities, which is something they were tops in the NBA at last season. And Steven Adams was one of the top offensive rebounders. The Grizzlies also couldn't get into their transition offense. Two reasons why that were explained after the game. And the obvious reason is because during that 20-0 run, the Celtics weren't missing shots. So when teams aren't missing shots, you're not able to grab the rebounds and push the basketball and get out in, you know, those half court and you know, get out in those transition opportunities. But the other thing was talk about the Celtics defense last season being one of the top defenses in the NBA. And you know, so far, I think they had the 25th defensive rating coming into this game. But everyone knows, you know, what that defense is capable of. You can throw that rating number out the window, kind of how it is with the Grizzlies defense at this point of the season. But Desmond Bane talked about it. Taylor Jenkins talked about how this defense, the Celtics defense, kind of slowed the Grizzlies down. And that's why in the last few minutes of the game, the Grizzlies were down, I think, 11 with about 3:21 left in the game, and they made a 9-0 run. So I asked, I said, well, what happened? How did you make the 9-0 run? And if you go back a minute before that stretch, John Conchar came into the game. Santi Aldama was subbed out. So the Grizzlies went small. Their final five were John Conchar, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, and Brandon Clark. So he used the small ball lineup. And, you know, Taylor Jenkins talked about how it helped with the spacing, getting another shooter out there to space the floor for Ja Morant. Desmond Bane talked about how it helped the pace, how it helped the tempo, which is something we just mentioned that slowed down because of the Boston defense and its switching style. And you know, they took away a lot of those transition and fast break opportunities. I think the Grizzlies finished with 11 fast break points in this game. That's a very low number for this Grizzlies team. So overall, you know, a lot of things like that went against the Grizzlies where they weren't at their best because they weren't able to do some of the things that they were best at. But I tell you what, going back to kind of the sentiment around the team after the game, and you know, Taylor Jenkins, you know, he said a couple times how proud he was of this team. And he was proud of the team because they fought. We mentioned Boston went on that 20-0 run led by 11. The Grizzlies answered near the end of the third quarter, 15-2 run by the Grizzlies to take a one-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Then, you know what? Boston answered again. Hit him with a haymaker. Boston was up 11 going into that final 3-4 minutes. Grizzlies made a 9-0 run, got within 1 point with 2.2 seconds left. Jason Tatum knocks down a couple free throws and makes a 3-point game, and that's the eventual final score. But no Steven Adams, no Jaren Jackson Jr., Zaire Williams. You know the case with those guys already out, but Steven Adams was the new addition to the injury report and who didn't play. And I think you factor in that it was the second night of a back-to-back. Those guys were pretty loose. I think Taylor Jenkins, he said a couple things that he said was he talked about how the film from this game is going to be, you know, a big learning lesson for this team. He couldn't wait, you know, after the game. He just kept talking about how he wants to review the film, and he felt like there were a lot of things to learn because that Boston Celtics defense presented the Grizzlies with a different challenge that those other previous 10 matchups coming into this game did not do. So you factor in that, and then Ja Morant comes up after Taylor Jenkins, and he's talking, and Ja Morant is pretty loose, you know, and he actually went out of his way to say, look, he's not trying to make it sound like he's okay with losing, because he definitely isn't that type of guy. You know, most people know that Ja Morant is ultra competitive, but he was happy with the way that the team competed. He made note of that. He you know, the fact that they were down guys and they were playing a top-tier level team and they competed. And Ja Morant even went all the way to share some funny stories. And I thought the funny story that I got from talking to Morant is if you watch when Jason Tatum, it was a 107-106 game, Jason Tatum goes to the free throw line for those last two free throw attempts. And, you know, Ja Morant walks up to him, kind of talk to him a little bit. Now, this is something you commonly see in the NBA where there's this thought that you can kind of psych a guy into missing free throws. There are a couple examples that just popped in my head. Recently, the most recent example I remember is Damian Lillard going up to DeAndre Ayton. Some of you may remember when that overtime game between the Blazers and the Suns, and I think they said Damian Lillard asked Ayton something of the sort of, have you ever been in this situation before? And Ayton missed the free throws and the game was over. Then there's a popular example just for longtime basketball fans will remember Gilbert Arenas, who talks a lot about when he was at the free throw line and LeBron James came up sort of and tapped him on the shoulder in a playoff game, and he missed some clutch free throws down the stretch that led to a Wizards loss against the Cavaliers. So there's kind of this thought that you can psych guys out, right? Well, Ja Morant kind of tries to psych out Jason Tatum a little bit. 107-106 game, couple seconds left. And Jason Tatum, who has a lot of family at the game, by the way, you know, St. Louis native, so a lot of his family was at the game. He actually stayed after the game for a while talking to some of his family. But Tatum tells Ja Morant something of the sort, basically saying, look, I got to get home to put Deuce to bed. So Deuce is Jason Tatum's son, you know, Jason Tatum Jr. So he basically told Ja, I got to knock these down because I don't got time to hang around. So Ja laughed when he was telling that story. And I think that just was an example of how loose this Grizzlies team was after this game. So not really much of a concern, you know, going into the game. But something that may be concerning up to this point is, you know, these sort of schedule losses that the Grizzlies have encountered so far this season. I'm going to talk about that coming up after the break. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about sweat block. See, if you know people who experience, you know, you have a lot of sweat or you know, someone who deals with, you know, odors and bad odors and things like that, tell them about sweat block. Tell them about how they can use sweat block to overcome these issues. See, the thing about sweat block is you also have sweat block wipes, right? Sweat block wipes are your little secret to confidence because all that sweat can go away. And then the odor goes away. And then it's like, look, sweat block wipes work up to 7 days per use. All you have to do is use it one time. They can last up to 7 days. So again, you can apply them on a Sunday, and guess what? They'll last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the way up until the next Sunday. All you have to do to get sweat block is use the promo code LOCKED ON at sweatblock.com, and you will get 20% off. Also available at Amazon. You can go to amazon.com as well, go to sweatblock, and then use the same promo code. LOCKED ON will give you 20% off. Now, the Grizzlies have sort of, you know, an early season thing that I've noticed. And, you know, I think it was noteworthy kind of what the guys said, you know, about these so-called schedule, you know, the scheduling conflicts up to this point of the season. But just a couple throw-in stats for you as we get to talking about the early season schedule for the Grizzlies. Eight teams, by the way, because every NBA team played on Monday. So, you know, there were going to be a decent amount of teams playing on back-to-backs, you know, from Sunday to Monday. Every NBA team played because every NBA team is off today on Election Day. So make sure you go out to vote today on Election Day and let your voice be heard. But eight teams played on Sunday, right? Of those eight teams, only two played against opponents that did not play on a back-to-back on Monday. So to be more clear, six of the eight teams that played on Sunday played against each other on Monday. Only two teams played teams that had the games that had the night off on Sunday, the Grizzlies and the Wizards. The Wizards won their game against the Hornets. So this is no excuse. You know, it's not an excuse. It's just an observation. And I'm going to tell you what the players said so you can kind of, you know, get more intel into why I'm, you know, making note of this observation. So the Grizzlies are one of two teams who played a team that had rest, and the Grizzlies lost. So this isn't the first time we've seen this. The Grizzlies are now 0-2 on the second night of back-to-backs. Of course, the other game was the game against the Dallas Mavericks, where the Grizzlies were handled pretty handily beaten in that game against the Mavs. So with that being said, it was 3-4 nights again. And I asked Ja Morant, I said, you know, is there something to this? Like, do guys kind of wear down in the third game in four nights, or even though they're all at home and you didn't have to travel? And Morant told me that his legs were a little heavy. He said he didn't want to speak for his teammates. He said his legs were a little heavy. And he actually gave an example. So you will remember the Grizzlies were trailing 115. No, not 115. I think it was 105 to 98 in the last minute and a half there. And Ja Morant went to the free throw line, two free throw attempts. Usually when guys are fatigued, the first thing that they do is shoot shots short. The second thing that they do is overcompensate and shoot shots super long. So go back and look at those two free throws from Ja Morant. And he even made note of it. He said, I was fatigued. I'm not going to talk about for anyone else. I was kind of fatigued going into that last stretch. And he mentioned, you know, he shot that first free throw short. Then he tried to put some more on that second free throw, shot it kind of long. So heavy legs for Ja Morant. And there were some other things that some players and coaches said as well. We're going to get into that a little bit. But before I talk to you about that, I want to remind you that thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. Now, for your second listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. From the games that matter to the biggest stories in sports, all you can do is go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Again, that's Locked On Sports Today. It's available right here on YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you go to listen or watch. Locked On Sports Today has you covered. So there was also some comments from Desmond Bane as well when we're talking about, you know, the schedule. And Desmond Bane said, you know what, it's kind of interesting, you know, right, that the Grizzlies have, you know, this schedule that they've made. He mentioned, the 4-6 that they played. Then they come home, then they play a game, and then he mentioned the 9-day road trip. And Desmond Bane said, hey, you know what, that's the NBA. He feels like the team has done pretty a good job at handling the cards that they've dealt at this point. And he said physically he feels all right. So there was that from Desmond Bane. And then there was Taylor Jenkins as well. And not as much responding to, you know, the schedule and, you know, the 3-4. But I had some people telling me, oh, Taylor Jenkins should have stuck with Ja Morant going into the fourth quarter. Well, let's discuss that situation a little bit. The Grizzlies had the run in the third quarter, mainly because of Ja Morant. Ja Morant finished this game, by the way, with 30 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. He had 14 points and 3 assists, I believe it was, in the third quarter. It was his best quarter of the day. And in the fourth quarter, he only had 3 points. So this is to more defend the decision of Taylor Jenkins, because I know some people say, hey, look, Ja Morant was hot. Keep him in there and, you know, play it out. Well, the Grizzlies used him for the entire third quarter. Ja Morant usually doesn't play the entire third quarter. He plays most of the third quarter, and then, you know, Desmond Bane, Dillon Brooks, those guys come in and play, you know, into the early parts of the fourth. But Ja usually doesn't play the entire third quarter. He played the entire third quarter because he was rolling, and he was the main reason the Grizzlies took that lead, you know, going into the fourth quarter. So that's why he played the entire quarter, but he had to get a break at some point. Taylor Jenkins had to give him a break. By the time that Ja Morant checked back into the game in the fourth quarter, the Grizzlies were down 5 points. Like I said earlier, it eventually grew to 11, and they had to crawl out of that hole. So again, I just showed you comments of Ja Morant saying he was fatigued going down the stretch of that game. And that was even with the break that Taylor Jenkins gave him. So this is just to say, hey, look, maybe some people wanted Ja Morant to play, you know, going into that fourth quarter. Maybe you wanted to see the Grizzlies ride that momentum a little bit more. But you got to remember, it's an 82-game season. Taylor Jenkins is going to play the more games. He's going to defend his guys. He's going to protect his guys at this point of the season. And maybe if it's, you know, it's playoffs or it's a do-or-die type game, yeah, Ja Morant stays in or he gets like a minute of rest or something like that. But in this game, he needed to be able to trust, you know, his bench going into, you know, that situation. And the bench, by the way, did not have, you know, a great game by their standards. Shout out to Jake LaRavia, by the way. Jake LaRavia did knock down, you know, a couple three-pointers. He was a big part of, you know, that second quarter for the Grizzlies. Knocked down 2 three-pointers. He finished +7. Xavier Tillman didn't give you much, you know, in the scoring column. Didn't give you much, you know, rebounding like some people wanted. But he finished +3. So, you know, plus-minus doesn't mean everything. But I just thought that was notable. Of course, John Conchar was a big reason why the Grizzlies got back in that game down the stretch. But David Roddy was -15. Tyus Jones was -21. Roddy, -15 in 4 minutes, 45 seconds. Tyus Jones, -21 in 15 minutes. So That's just to say, look, Taylor Jenkins had to trust his guys. I mean, no matter how you look at it, he had to trust his guys. Ja Morant needed the break. Even the fact that Ja Morant was tired going into that last stretch kind of backs up the decision that Taylor Jenkins made to remove him from the game at that point. But the Grizzlies have had, you know, sort of a tougher break on the schedule at certain points of the season. And you know what? These things sort of even out. That's why I don't spend too much time talking about them, because as the season progresses, there are going to be times where the Grizzlies will play teams who will be on, you know, the third game and fourth nights, and they have a night or two off, and they'll play teams on back-to-backs and things like that. And when those opportunities come, we will discuss those, you know, as they get here. But right now we've seen the Grizzlies 0-2 on the second nights of back-to-back. So it's just something to monitor as the season progresses. And now the next thing to monitor for the Grizzlies is this upcoming game against the San Antonio Spurs. Don't sleep on the Spurs. We're going to talk about that coming up after the break. But now I got to talk to you about Bet Online. See, Bet Online, most of you know, is the premier site for your odds, your news, and your scores. Bet Online has you covered with all the latest going on. And guess what? College basketball is back. I tuned in a little bit on yesterday to the college basketball action before the Grizzlies played. So now you got college basketball. You got the NFL. MLB is gone now, but you got soccer. You got esports. Bet Online has you covered. And guess what? If you love sports podcasts, you can find those at Bet Online as well. See, the thing about it is, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. All you have to do is head over to the website today, or you can just use your mobile device to learn more, because BetOnline is where the game starts. So the game starts for the Grizzlies Wednesday against the San Antonio Spurs. And I say to you right now, coming into this season, right, a lot of people say, oh, the San Antonio Spurs, this is one of those tank teams. This is one of those teams that'll be in the conversation for a Vic Wimbanyana and whatnot. But Spurs kind of start the season. They're 5-6, but they've won some games where you say, hey, I didn't expect them to win, you know, that game early on in the season. You know, they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers. They beat the Clippers. There's three games right there where against teams that a lot of people expect to be playing in the postseason. But they also have a nice young, you know, nucleus over there. But a 7 o'clock start time, I believe, for that game. Grizzlies, Spurs. The Grizzlies are traveling today, off day for the team. And they'll take on this Spurs team that's led by Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson, Jakob Poeltl, who a lot of fans may remember, you know, Ja Morant's one of his biggest dunks last season came over Jakob Poeltl at the FedEx Forum. So I will remind you of that as well. Last time we saw these two teams playing against each other, Ja Morant had arguably the best performance of his career, 52-point game, dunks on Jakob Poeltl. Steven Adams with one of the highlights, you know, of his career as well, throwing a full court pass to Ja Morant, who caught it and threw it in from the corner as the halftime buzzer went off. So saying all that just to say, hey, these Spurs, you know, they'll remember that game. And they have some hoopers. I've just talked about Jakob Poeltl, over 11.5 points per game, 9.8 boards, 3.8 assists per game. And, of course, you know, he can protect the rim as well, averaging a steal and a block. So he's a guy who's defending, protecting the rim. And quite frankly, you're going to want to have Steven Adams for that matchup. So it'll be real intriguing to see how Steven Adams progresses, because, you know, I've talked a lot about the top floaters in the NBA from last season. Brandon Clark, among big men, he had a top three floater, you know, according to Synergy, I believe it was. It's where that data was that I got that information. Brandon Clark, Nikola Jokic, and Jakob Poeltl. Again, another big man who has a very effective floater. So you're going to want to put some size against him, right? Starting Brandon Clark kind of works, you know, in spurts. But you want to have, you know, Steven Adams against these big 7-foot big men like Jakob Poeltl that the Grizzlies will go against. And then how about the Trey Jones versus Tyus Jones matchup, right? Trey Jones this season averaging over 12.6 assists a steal and a half. I thought he's a very good on-ball defender, one of those pesky type guys. He'll get into you and things like that. But make no mistake about it, the Spurs are led by their two 20-plus point scorers, Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell. Keldon Johnson averaging over 23.8 points. Devin Vassell, 20.7 points per game. And you know what? After a game where the Grizzlies played Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, this is a good test. This is a good test because you're going to play, you know, teams like the Clippers who have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, we just saw, you know, they play Anthony Simons, but they're going to be Damian Lillard, Anthony Simons games. Then they're going to turn around. The Grizzlies are going to have to play against C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. The list goes on. The West is loaded with kind of these, you know, premier multiple guards, multiple wings who can give you 20 points on any given night. The Spurs have two guys who are averaging over 20. Dylan Brooks is going to get the assignment on one of those. My guess is Keldon Johnson just because he's a bigger, stronger guy who can really score the basketball, you know, in kind of the mid-post area. But he shot the three-pointer really well this season too, over 42% and over 3.8 makes per game on three-pointers. That's kind of been the big development in his career up to this point. And Devin Vassell came into the league as sort of kind of like a 3-and-D guy. He's showing more playmaking, more shooting. So those are the things that we'll monitor about, you know, the Spurs. I think they have a nice young nucleus that they're building around and enough to say, hey, you know, you better tune into this game and you better watch the full game because this is a good opponent that the Grizzlies will take on at this point of the season. From the Grizzlies side of things, you finally saw Ja Morant kind of get back into scoring rhythm. I mentioned earlier he shot 10 of 24 from the field, 5 of 12 on three-pointers, scored 30 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Desmond Bane, 19 points, 5 boards, 5 assists in this last game, 2 of 6 on three-pointers. So you might want to see more from the other guys. You know, Brandon Clark, 10 points, 8 boards in a game. You know, and I thought coming into that, he had a nice stretch. Dylan Brooks shot 6 of 17, finished with 13.7 boards, did have 5 assists before fouling out, but plus 13 in the plus-minus column. Another guy who is kind of, you know, falling off a little bit as of late, it's Santi Aldama. And, you know, I did say, you know, coming into this season, expected Santi Aldama to have, you know, sort of a breakout performance in a way in terms of the Grizzlies fans didn't know what to expect. A lot of people didn't know who was going to fill that starting power forward role. And I think he's filled it admirably. He's a big reason why this team is 7-4. He's averaging over 9 points, 6 boards per game. But Santi Aldama's stats has kind of fallen off. And I think, you know, his minutes in this past game was very reflective of that. Santi Aldama played 18 minutes, 29 seconds. And he wasn't in foul trouble. He only had one foul. But the 18 minutes was a season low. And I'm going to take you through the minutes of Santi Aldama through this point of the season. So you go back to the very first game of the season. He played 39 minutes. And then he played 31 minutes in the second game when they played the Houston Rockets. Then he played, you know, 20 in the blowout loss to Dallas Mavericks. A lot of guys didn't play a lot of minutes in that game, FYI. Then he comes back in the Brooklyn Nets game, 32 minutes, 24 seconds. Sacramento game, 29 minutes, 53 seconds. But then, again, Utah. He played 29 minutes in that first game in Utah. And here's the turning point. Because I mentioned that game in Utah is where, you know, Santi Aldama had some notable, you know, defensive lapses where he left Kelly Olynyk open, where he was standing in the paint. Lauri Markkanen had an open three-pointer late in the fourth quarter of those games. Just some defensive lapses there. And, you know, so that led to the next game against Utah. He played 23 minutes, 41 seconds, came back, played 29 minutes against Portland. But since then, 21 minutes against Charlotte, 27 against Washington, and a season low, you know, 18 minutes, 29 seconds against Boston. If you want to take it a step further, Santi Aldama's last two games, well, if you want to go to his last five games, it is 3 points, 11 points, 12 points, 4 points, 8 points. Just, I think, you know, normal ebbs and flows that you're getting from a second-year player. I think we've seen him, you know, he's knocked down multiple three-pointers this point of the season in five games. He made 2 of 6 three-pointers in this past game, you know, against the Celtics. So I don't think it's just, you know, any type of shooter slumps and fades and things like that. I think this is more of a defensive thing. And the proof of that is the Grizzlies came out in sort of an interesting defensive alignment to start the game, you know, and that defensive alignment was Taylor Jenkins started off. Santi Aldama was guarding Marcus Smart, and Ja Morant started the game guarding Grant Williams. Now, granted, Grant Williams, more than half of his shots come from the three-point line, right? So I think this was more Santi Aldama than Ja Morant, because you don't want to leave Grant Williams open. Grant Williams is a guy who makes a very high percentage of his open three-point attempts. He's one of the top corner three-point shooters in the NBA. So with that being said, the Grizzlies started the game. Santi Aldama was guarding Marcus Smart. And just put it frankly, that matchup did not work in the Grizzlies' favor. Marcus Smart came out early. He went at Santi Aldama, scored pretty fast. And, you know, I asked Taylor Jenkins after the game, hey, what led to that matchup? Why did you, you know, choose that? And you know, he didn't give too much intel. He basically just said, you know, they wanted to try something different. They wanted to throw a different look at Boston. But I think we can clearly point that more to being, you know, some of those lapses that Santi Aldama has had. And, you know, you didn't want to leave that guy, Grant Williams, open from three-point. The Grizzlies just couldn't afford to do that. And I think the proof was Santi Aldama was the first guy who was subbed out. And he was subbed out for Jake LaRavia. And once Jake LaRavia subbed in, he didn't go guard Marcus Smart. Ja Morant then switched over to Marcus Smart, and Jake LaRavia went to guard Grant Williams. So I think offensively there isn't much concern with Santi Aldama. I think the potential is still there. And to be frank, he's going to fill in very nicely with that second unit when Jaren Jackson Jr. gets back. But overall, the defensive lapses have kind of, you know, causing more concern. So against those teams who have those effective, you know, three-point shooting, you know, fours and threes and those combo guys that Santi Aldama will have to step out on the perimeter and guard, it'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies, you know, handle that, not just right now, but just going forward throughout the season. I think at the end of the day, the answer for Santi Aldama is going to be experience. You know, the more experience he gets, the more comfortable he gets guarding in space and just knowing player tendencies, knowing that, hey, Grant Williams is a guy that can really shoot the ball. Kelly Olynyk and Lauri Markkanen are some of the best shooting big men at this point of the season. Can't leave those guys open. So, again, the reps will come. And overall, Jaren Jackson Jr., we mentioned it last week, 3-on-3, progressing really well. So he's getting close. So you'll get the starting power forward back soon, and we'll see how this team really plays at its best. But thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Once again, we appreciate you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen each and every day. But now, make sure you go tune in to Locked On Sports Today for your second listen. See, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, and you get the biggest stories of the day. And you also get the instant reactions. You get the big game recap. You get those big takes of the day that are important, you know, these days. So all you have to do is go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. On the next episode, we will be recapping that game against the San Antonio Spurs. I think it'll be a fun matchup. So we'll recap that game, and we'll see, you know, how the Grizzlies perform against that Spurs team. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Appreciate you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Locked On Grizzlies.